genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. You can always join the conversation by giving us a call at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I do have one shout out. Big shout out to Luke Shimatsu over at DHC Toyota in Oxnard. Now, this is a guy who's out there redefining customer service in the car care industry. Did a great job. Luke, thank you so much for that, and a big shout out to you. Now, on to today's theme. As everybody knows, today is Valentine's Day, so our theme is Valentine's Day. All three of my guests will discuss a unique aspect of Valentine's Day or male-female relationships. My first guest is a psychotherapist who speaks about gender issues with clarity, approachability, and authority. We'll discuss why a kiss is not the same to a man as it is to a woman and other differences between the sexes. My second guest speaks six languages, including several romance languages, French, Spanish, Italian. We're going to discuss the language of love and determine once and for all which language is the sexiest and the most romantic. My third guest knows something about movies. He works with Fandango, the online movie ticket buying site. Fandango tracks movie ticket sales and can reveal some very surprising trends about America's taste in music. We'll discover the best music movies to see with the one that you love here on Valentine's Day. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Ann Lewis is a licensed medical health counselor and educator in Florida. She has over 23 years of clinical experience counseling individuals, couples, and groups. She's also the founder of Women's Journey Incorporated. A frequent lecturer on gender socialization issues, she is the recent recipient of the National Association of Women Business Owners Bravo Spirit of Community Award and the winner of the Dorland Health People's Award presented at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. She has a Ph.D. in psychology from Fairfax University, a master's degree in applied psychology, and an education specialist degree from Nova Southeastern, and lives and works in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Welcome to the show, Ann. How are you today?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And happy Valentine's today to you as well.
It's a great day to talk about love.
It is a wonderful day to talk about that. And there's so many different romantic things that I want to chat with you about because your specialty really is socialization and the gender roles that we play in that. So I'm going to start with something that many, many people think is very romantic. In the song, As Time Goes By, in the movie Casablanca, the words go, a kiss is just a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh. However, your research shows that that's not true. A kiss means different things to a man than it does to a woman.
Absolutely.
So why is it different? What does it mean to each gender?
Well, a woman is socialized to bonding and belong and giving her life and sharing her life and the whole romanticism of love. Men are not socialized that way. They are really socialized to be more independent, to see love more as an advantage to them, but not something that they need to necessarily sacrifice their life for. They're not so in love with the idea of sacrificing their life. They're in the idea of building and constructing their life. So they tend to have more resistance to the idea of marriage and commitment and all that kind of thing. They would love to be more playful, more lighthearted, more satisfying, but less sacrificing.
All right, so less sacrifice. The woman's role then is to do the sacrificing. The man's role is just to reap the benefits of having a partner, having a mate. Now, when you talk about that, there's so many movies, so many plays out there that talk about the advantages or the benefit of the man coming to his full potential. When he meets the right woman, they fall in love and everything falls into place. And they become a unit. So much of that, we see that in the movies. We see that in plays. We read it in books. So you're saying it's a little bit different than that. So tell me exactly what it is that the man is socialized to do that makes it so difficult for them to enter into a relationship.
Well, I think that they're more they see love as a huge commitment, and they're less able to see that as something that's good for them. I mean, they eventually do, but it they're slower. They don't come to love with the idea of being in love with love. They would like someone to be with them. There are more couples that are living together, for example, today, and they're not necessarily in love. I mean, they're not getting married. They're just living together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably more an advantage for them. Women, if they had a choice, would get married quickly. When a woman kisses a man, she's right away thinking, is he marriage material? When he kisses her, he may be thinking, is she going to be fun to be with sexually? Am I going to like doing activities with her, sports activities, going places with her? Will she like my family? These kinds of things, these expectations are groomed in our childhood, because really when a young girl when she's a child, she's playing with toys that simulate her mothering, simulate her caregiving, simulate her belonging. Like right now I'm reading Cinderella Ate My Daughter.
Yes, she's going to be on our show next week. It's a shameless plug for Billy the Brain. She's on next week. You'll want to listen in.
Yes, well, I'm reading her book now. And in what she's saying, I haven't finished the book yet, but that there's a culture out there that markets girly girl stuff. So there isn't that kind of culture for men. We really respect the individuation of the man. I mean, men are affected by socialization. Don't get me wrong; they really are, in ways that probably we won't be able to get into in the show. But and it affects them deeply. However, their individuation is encouraged, not compromised.
All right, we're talking to Ann Lewis, everybody, PhD and author of the book Kiss Your Life, 365 Reasons to Love Who You Are. We're talking about Valentine's Day and some of the differences between the sexes. And I want to return to something that you said in that last answer, which is that women are in love with the idea of being in love, whereas men are not, that they eventually grow into it. And this is going to be a guy question, so take it for what it's worth. But it sounds to me that the men have the more practical approach to this. I mean, being in love with the idea of being in love.
You're absolutely right. In many ways, they really do. They're much more calculating, and they see love and commitment to and marriage as a threat to them. And that's not a bad thing, because they're much more careful with the idea of being in love. They understand the practicalities that what is going to be expected of them. There's going to be more pressure on them. There's going to be more responsibility. They're going to be compromised if they're living a monogamous life with someone. So this takes away their personal freedom. So, yes, they do. And I don't think that that's wrong. I would really like women to really be more calculating about who they love and what they want that love to become, instead of just diving in and then looking at the sacrifices later.
All right. Now, this brings up an interesting point. I'm going to turn the tables on you, because ultimately the end game of love, the end game of a man and woman getting together, ultimately at some point turns into marriage. So my question to you is this: is marriage obsolete, or in what ways is monogamy a trap for both men and women?
Well, first of all, marriage is not obsolete. And last year there were 2.1 million marriage licenses given out. However, within 6 years, half of them are going to divorce. So marriage is really not obsolete. But the kind of marriages that we need to be constructing in the future are different than the kinds of marriages that we understand from our relationships with our family, or that we see romanticized, that men and women today, because women are more educated and because the relationships between men and women makes it more necessary for them to be partners, that means financial partners as well, it is really important that they are able to negotiate a relationship that makes sense. So they're able to look at how do they feel about money, how do they feel about religion, how do they feel about children, how do they feel about childcare, who's going to do all of this? Because marriage constitutes a tremendous amount of responsibility, blessings and responsibility. As far as monogamy is concerned, that's a great discussion, because how does a man feel about monogamy? If monogamy is nothing that he's really been in love with, or he sees that as a compromise of his sexuality, then he really needs to talk with her honestly about, and with himself, about how he feels about that.
Well, now let's talk about that, because he may not view it as a compromising of his own sexuality, but we can't undo millennia of conditioning, genetic conditioning, that says men are out there to spread their seed, to propagate the species and to keep the species going. And monogamy and marriage in general is a human construct that's only been around for a couple hundred years in reality. So, you know, how do you reverse thousands of years of evolution for a human construct that's only a couple hundred years old?
Well, by changing attitudes. When you and I talked, I think about a week ago, I told you about a really important study coming out of the state of New York at Stony Brook, and where young couples are wanting to construct relationships that form human expansion. And those relationships, which we have known for years, that the marriages that are more advantageous to both partners, that encourage the development of both partners, really are the relationships where couples believe in their union. So this is not changing the idea of marriage. It's changing the expression of marriage. And this is not genetic. This is all cultural. This is something that we come to marriage with. Marriage is exactly what we want it to be. So that if a man and woman coming together, love each other, all right, then, and they decide to be married, then they need to look at all the things that are going to affect their marriage. Those are all the things that I mentioned a little while ago. That's not genetic, that's cultural.
All right.
And so that's what they need to do. And is that setting a new precedence? Yes, it is. And do we need to do that? Yes, we do. Because, A, there is a lot of financial pressure on marriage today, so that wives are more likely to be working with their husbands to handle the financial pressure of their marriage. Two, there's a lot of pressure on couples to be partners in their child care, that we have a tremendous absence of fathers, and we need fathers involved with our children. We know that children who have both mother and father involved are healthier.
All right. I would agree with that. We're talking to Ann Lewis, everybody. We're talking about Valentine's Day. We're talking about male-female relationships and her book, Kiss Your Life, 365 Reasons to Love Who You Are. Ann, I want to ask you, though, all right, so we've got these reasons. Working wives have to work together side by side with their husbands and childcare partners. I like that. But really, you mentioned it earlier. As a rule, men slowly evolve to believe in marriage. Why do men come to marriage at all in this day and age?
Well, I think that men want to belong. They want to be connected. And I think that that's something that is not accentuated in a man's socialization. Oftentimes, unfortunately, connection for men comes in terms of their sexuality more than in their emotionality. So their lives become so sexualized in so early in their life that they have a harder time merging the idea of sexuality and relationship connection. So they need a lot of encouragement. I think in the movie Avatar, which is a really great movie, this is played out very beautifully. When the young man is trained by the young woman, and she says to him, "You're a baby, but you have a strong heart." And what she's really saying to him is, "You are immature, and I am going to help you to mature." And so he becomes whole. And so they use the term in the movie, "I see you." and the what that really means coming from the Latin, which means I respect you. I see the essence of you. I see you intimately. And seeing her in this way helps him to not only love himself, but to love what they share together. And in this way, he becomes a warrior.
All right. We're talking to Ann Lewis, everybody, PhD. We're talking about male-female relationships. And, Ann, we've only got about a minute left, but in that minute, I've read somewhere that you're on record as saying that men are an endangered species. What makes you think that?
Well, I think that men are really unaware, but that they are very victimized by the pressure on them to be distance from their emotions, to be over-sexualized and using their power in inappropriate ways to get love that they really, but it has to be a love that they believe in. And I think that men really need a men's movement to help them to bring about the fullness of their capabilities, that to honor every part of them, that being emotional doesn't mean that they're less of a man. It means actually that they're more of a man.
All right. That is great. And we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Ann Lewis, who is a PhD. She's also the author of the book Kiss Your Life, 365 Reasons to Love Who You Are. Ann, if people have been piqued by what you're saying, they're interested in learning more, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They would go to womensjourney.org. It's plural, womensjourney.org. If they Google support group for women, it will be first on Google.
Oh, hey.
They can join the site, and they can talk with me every day. I blog every day. I do a two-hour chat room. And actually, if they would like to go on, I'm doing a two-hour chat room this Thursday night from 7 to 9, and we will invite them on free of charge.
Oh, that is a wonderful offer for my listeners. Thank you so much, Ann, and thank you for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, Billy. Take care.
Take care.